Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome. My name is Myron Souder. I'm here with my wife, Sarah, who will be stepping in any moment here. Thank you to Myron Showalter for passing out our supplies. We have staff paper and pencil and eraser for everybody.
Yeah, so, everybody.
Good. Appreciating the input from Ebersole in the mornings here. Focused on Jesus Christ and here this morning the word dwelling in us. And that's the only thing that can come out, something that's in already. Like I mentioned yesterday, thank you, Sarah. This is my wife, Sarah. We're from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We have six children who are with my parents overnight and at school today. The verse in Colossians, the verse in Ephesians that he referred to, have a special emphasis on singing. And it doesn't just mean singing things that other people wrote. We're in a workshop entitled Composing, right? This is a title they gave me, so I pondered what direction to go. Composing for congregational singability. Composing is making a song that hasn't existed yet. And it's called a workshop. So we're going to work. I'll do some work, and I'll invite you to do some work as well. So this might not be easy. Let's continue with a brief prayer to that Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the word that we've heard already this morning. It's dwelling in us, Lord, richly. It's dwelling in us to inspire psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. New songs, like Psalm 33 says, sing a new song to the Lord. So take these moments for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what I'm picturing. First, a brief catch-up from yesterday. I'm looking over the books that I didn't have time to show you yesterday. In the New Songs workshop, I even had the description of Mennonite songs, but time ran out. But I wanted to show you these booklets. Myron Showalter here is instrumental in putting together this little booklet of Hymn Poems 2012. It was a work in progress back then, and they've been writing since then. So this is coming from the Mennonites in Maryland and Pennsylvania, not far from here. They're writing, and their work deserves study and notice. And here's another booklet that was put together by Wendell Glick and Jerome Weaver a few years ago for presentation at the Hymn Society meeting in Ontario. New tunes and new words being produced by people that are your and my age. Some of them are here today. It's happening not only among the Catholics and Protestants, but among the Mennonites. It's happening among Germans as well. Here is a Mennonite songbook I received from 2009, published in 2004. This is a book from Germany. Not a British book, but look what they're doing with the setup of the page. They're putting some words interlined with the music, and then some of the verses off to the side now and then. And some separate prayers. Here, verse 3. Verse 3 only is down here. So, there's a great deal happening that you and I need some training if we're going to access in High German and other languages around the world. And finally, if you want to access scholarly research about contemporary hymn tunes. Here's a book by Paul Westermeyer. 2005, he put together a book about the outline of hymn tunes throughout church history, some of what we looked at yesterday with a great deal more detail, and including 20th century hymn tunes, first half of the 20th century, second half of the 20th century. So there's more resources where these come from. Enjoy. There was a booklet of hymns back there on the Lost and Found. I'm not sure if it was ones that I ended up selling yesterday and if they misplaced it, or if, okay, because I didn't want to reclaim it if it's actually one of yours. Okay. I'm picturing pursuing this topic, composing for congregational singability, in a precise way. I decided that the topic of all of music theory is too big for an hour. So what can we do in an hour? We're going to focus on how to achieve something in a small way. We're going to first look at the process in this order. We're going to start with a text. I have some Bible verses that we're going to work with, just to make it achievable for you. You can start with, we're going to start small, and I'm going to pick a text, I'm going to model for you, and then, if we can, I'm going to allow some time for you to try to set a little segment of text to music. And I have a document camera here that we can put your paper under the screen, if you're willing, and we can sing what you've written. And so you can do that in your classroom if you have a document camera, which you want to get one. It's the price, no more than the price of a computer anymore. They come in many different models, cheap or expensive. And there's nothing quite like it. You can project copyright pieces without violating any copyrights because it's not an electronic storage and retrieval system. You can take a little text and you can set it to music, and because it comes from your ear, I'm using this almost interchangeably with the word voice here, but I use the word ear to indicate that it's an internal thing. It starts inside by looking at the text, and then you hear it and you might start singing it right away, and the two may interact. But I emphasize that before number three. Okay, and this is going to be a melody. Melody first. Before going to paper. And adding harmony. I'll try to get to harmony because we like to get there in our hymnals. And I put it in the description here. There's so much to say and so little time, we'll just say a few things. But here's what I want to emphasize. This is another topic, how to write texts, a big one. So we're just going to take a text and emphasize number two. Get it in your ear and your voice. And what I'm trying to emphasize is that's the key to congregational singability. If you can sing it and you can sing it out with your voice, even before you write it down, and maybe you don't even get to number three, if you're in front of your Sunday school class or you're in front of a group of students, even if you don't know how to write it down, that shouldn't keep you from composing for congregational singability or composing for small group singability. You can, if you have it memorized, You can sing it and they can echo it back, and you can worship, and you can sing in the way that most people throughout history have sung before they had musical literacy. And most people today, like we said yesterday, who's musically literate? Some who've worked hard, but not everybody. They can sing. And if you can model it in simplicity, that may convince them that they could do the same thing using a reproducible model. To emphasize number two, I'm going to read a bit from Alice Parker. This book, entitled The Anatomy of Melody, is subtitled Exploring the Single Line of Song. Parker is a composer born 19... but she's a highly regarded composer, conductor, and lecturer in the field of choral folk songs, hymns, and spirituals. And she has been working all her life with choirs and hymns. She loves American folk songs for their singability. She loves the sacred harp and other folk styles. And she wrote this book just about melody. And she wrote then another book about harmony. She's a high achiever. She's a professional. I'm going to read, to emphasize number two, ear, voice, and melody, I'm going to read a bit from this chapter called One Composer's Relationship with the Page. Because she says, don't go to number three too quickly. She's ambitious, and she'll say, don't go to number three even until you're all ready. Well, we'll get to that. You have to figure out what you can do. Maybe writing it down is easy for you and gives you courage. She would say writing it down can get in the way of inhabiting it with your voice. When I compose, I don't approach either the page or the piano until the sound of the piece is quite clear in my head. It's not finished by any means, but I do know the tempo and sonority, the shape of the whole, and various themes and ideas. It's a vision. I wish there were an oral equivalent word to that visual word, vision. I don't begin to write until it's like taking dictation. The idea is clear, and I'm listening to a performance as I write. I'm going to step over here and think of a way to emphasize number two, because that's what she's emphasizing, like listening to a performance. There's the ear metaphor. Listening to a performance. She has it memorized well enough that it's going in her mind again and again. As I fill in the sketch, the performances become more and more complete, and as I add the final touches to the page, the same transformation is going on in my head. This is an ideal performance. No mistakes, no page turns, no uncertainties. But it isn't yet sound. Not until I hear the work performed does my vision come to life. But it's an inner voice. And I'm sure she's singing out loud as well, so I'm not sure if that's completely true, that it isn't yet sound at all. She goes on to say there's a gulf between the page and what another person perceives. I've heard her say elsewhere that, if I remember right, she said, what you see on the page in the hymnal, or even on choral music, where there's dynamics and tempo marked in, is only 10% of the information that she wishes the performers could get. She can't put more than 10% of that on the page. 90% is on the conductor to interpret that page. And that's it. I don't know if that's hyperbole or not, if that's an overstatement to make a point, because that's a large percent. 90% is in the interpretation. But our hymnals, the Red Mennonite hymnal says, we chose not to put any dynamic markings in, unless the copyright required it. So that's the way we do in our hymnals. And how many of our congregations sing in more than one dynamic? Same all the way through. So, there's a go off between the page and a lot of interpretation to up to the performers. If she's conducting, she can quickly demonstrate to the performers what she wants. It seems to me that there are three parts to the composing and notating of music. Let's see how these match with what I wrote up there. First, she's establishing the tempo and sonority as yet for the yet unformed idea. She's talking about more detail here than we have time for. The kind of sound, vocal or instrumental. So, yes, we're deciding we're talking about vocal and achievable for your students or your Sunday school class. Approximate length, for us, very short. Tempo, meter, and key, according to what the text seems to be asking for. I listen in my head to the sound of the voices singing, the specific notes, melodies, and extensions between verses, and the changing colors. Third is writing down what I've heard. That's what I meant by paper there, transcribing it. This is usually easy for her. It's not easy for everyone. I'm suspicious. Here's a sentence that might be hyperbole again. Does she mean this? I'm suspicious if I have to pick up an eraser. I ask Willis, bring us pencils and erasers. Because I tell my students, use a pencil only. Staff paper, pencil only. Because you will erase. It means the ideas haven't gestated enough. All these decisions about how to get from here to there should have been made in my imagination, not on my page. Last, I must look at the pages with new eyes, seeing what markings will help the reader. So there's some input from Alice Parker on the ideal. I read that mostly to emphasize number two. Know where you're going before you put it down. It's an oral thing. And I want to say for the third time, for me, that's the key to congregational singability. If you can sing it and have it memorized, then someone else will be able to. When I try to get students to do this, I ask them if they can you sing it again? Can you sing it again? Can you sing it again? If you can't remember it, if it's not simple enough for you to remember and repeat, then there's some kinks that have to be worked out if anybody else is going to be able to find it plausible and likable. Let's see if we can do some of this together. I'm going to choose a text, and I'm going to model what I'm going to be inviting you to do, if you can, in a few minutes. Here's some Bible verses I copied out about the topic of singing. I'm going to choose a segment of one that I think is achievable, and try to begin hearing it and singing it to myself. I'm going to dwell on number two until I like it, and then write it down on paper and probably discuss harmony a little bit. I wrote in here, concepts and skills for harmony include chords, cadences, voice leading, and harmonic action. So, I don't know how far we'll get there. That's ambitious for a short time period. But I think that there's music theory books available if you want to learn about more of those things in more detail. I want to emphasize the melody. Melody first. Melody is what you'll want to teach to your group that will convince them that they could model the same thing for their group. Okay, let's pick one here. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. What about that one? Let me try this. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. I picked a Bible verse that's not necessarily in rhythm already, just to show you that I think to make it a little more accessible to you, that you can, it's possible to take anything and put it to music, I think. Okay, I'm doing number two. Lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. What are the characteristics of melody? I'm thinking now, I see a climax tone here. I like that. One highest point. I'm using fa in here. Those half steps are not always easy to hear. Mi, mi, fa, mi, fa, so, 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 fa, mi, re, do, so, so, so. Is that a climax tone if there's three of them? Lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. Maybe I didn't have a climax tone. Now I have a la in there. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. I'm going back to do at the end because I want to make it sound like one phrase for now. Wonder if I should go to a pentatonic scale and drop out that fa. What could I do?
My lips
shall greatly rejoice when I sing. Oh, I have a fa in here. But I'm coming down the scale is easier.
My lips shall greatly re. Do mi, mi, re, mi, so, la, so, fa. Lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. Do mi, mi, re, mi, 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 re. Lips shall greatly re. Mi, mi, re, mi, so, la, so.
I'm missing a syllable now.
My lips shall greatly rejoice when my lips shall greatly.
I need to repeat a tone somewhere.
You need another me.
Me, 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 ready, so lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing.
I'm not sure if that's what you did at first.
Lips shall greatly, lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing. Greatly.
I'm going to go to the re.
Lips shall greatly.
For a little more variety there, put the strong beat on a new tone.
Lips shall greatly,
greatly.
Lips shall.
Okay, so I'm going to number three already. What would Alice Parker say? Then again, she's not in charge, is she? She can do it her way. It's something to aspire to.
Lips shall greatly rejoice when I'm
repeating the cell up here.
My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. My lips shall greatly rejoice, greatly rejoice when I shall greatly rejoice.
Another thing I'm thinking of right now is to have an interesting melodic leap in there. If I put this re second up to so, then I have a leap fourth, which can add some interest.
My lips shall greatly rejoice, lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee.
Okay. And what I'm telling myself now is that let me let it be a draft, okay? It's not going to be perfect. It doesn't have to be published. It's for someone to sing with me. And we can polish it later with their feedback.
My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I smile. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. My lips shall greatly rejoice.
I'm not making that as much.
If you switched the third beat of the rap.
Exchange the two.
It would make that jump to a little more natural, as well as giving you a exchange.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I had a few minutes ago, and it was worth staying with.
Lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee.
That's what you were thinking.
Greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee.
You see how I found a flow in a text that isn't really iambic or trochaic or dactylic. My lips, if I would just read this, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. Maybe it is anapestic. Later here. Strong, weak, weak, strong, weak, weak, strong, weak, weak, strong. Let me put that on staff paper and see where we are then. Okay. Here's a list from Alice Parker. This is a complicated list. List of elements to consider in analyzing and or performing a melody. Or we're saying composing a melody. Voicing. Who is singing? Some of this we'll just make go pass over quickly without thinking. It's vocal. We're assuming vocal here. And okay, she's saying you can think in a great deal of detail. What age is your person? What gender is your person? Is it a solo or group? Text, who is speaking? Color, idiom, tone of voice, meaning, form, loaded syllables, metaphors, alliteration. I had this word rejoice. Should have I pondered first how that one should be treated? Where did I put that?
Rejoice when I sing.
Maybe the climax tone should be on rejoice, on the joy, instead of the when. Rhythm. We're going to look at this next when I put it on staff paper. What time signature was I feeling? I already chose major mode. I chose a do, re do at the end, so there's our authentic cadence. For range, we have a range of a perfect fifth.
Do, mi, sol.
Major sixth, actually.
Sol, la, sol, la, mi,
re, I looked a little bit at the phrase curve. I drew it out that way first. Climax tone. We're not talking Italian right now. Articulation dynamics. Congregational singing, these aren't central considerations or refined considerations. Swinging, bouncy. My lips shall rejoice. A little bit of a bounce to it. And form, these would be questions for larger compositions. And you add to this list. And here's your reflections. But I decided with this time restriction, we'll narrow it down to composing a fragment that is achievable. And I'm gonna try to convince you that this is achievable by working hard. I think we're okay for time here. We're halfway through, and I'll soon be to our transcription here, and then I'll look at a little bit of harmony, and then the reason you have staff paper and pencil is to give it a whirl yourself. And I'll be happy if some of you would be willing to put your fragment, your rough draft, mine is rough, I'm being vulnerable here to show that it's achievable and it's not maybe the best thing that we've ever written, but the people that you're with want to see that you're human too. The hymnal can be intimidating. Everything in the hymnal has been looked at by many eyes, has been sung for years, probably, in our case of our hymnals, for many years, since we don't have many recent hymns in them. But that's not the only thing available. Okay, since I solfege, the shape notes are easy for me. I didn't think yet about what key to put it in. Key of F. That's a good choice, isn't it? So, I've asked my students to memorize the key signatures, but key signatures are hard. Remember, I didn't master the key signatures without hard work. What shall we write down for a key of F? One flat. Here's another issue. Where does the flat go?
B.
It's supposed to be on one particular line of space. It's not random. It's not random. If you flat B, it will sound like Do goes to F. Okay, I'm going to put in the checks first here so I don't get my music too crowded. Even writing a treble clef, there's a lot of ways to write sloppy treble clefs. Whatever book I learned it from recommended putting a line straight down. You can put a curve on the end like your hymnal does if you like. I mean, you can put little things on your letters too, can't you? Like you can put serifs when you write T's. But we usually write in sans serif fonts, most of us. Okay, so that's circle around this G line right here. It's a G clef. My lips shall greatly, remember this is two syllables, rejoice when I sing unto thee. Scribbles are faster.
My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee.
You quickly find out maybe why not everybody uses shape notes. They're harder to write, possible, but it just doesn't go as fast. Okay. I guess I'll do this for us.
It's up to you, but you've heard that rain music.
Greatly rejoice.
I went up on the re.
Rejoice.
If I went up on La here, then I'd repeat afterward and my descent wouldn't be quite as smooth. Okay, I'll keep it this way. And for now, I'm going to just put stems up because of the draft. Okay. For timing, first I'm going to feel the strong beats and put some bar lines in, and then I'll count.
My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee.
Okay, I'm hearing that this is, what if I make this an eighth, this a quarter?
My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee.
Is it 3/4 time?
Or 6/8.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I did beam this wrong. Yeah, the one that I did practicing for this last week was 6/8 as well. Thank you, that helps me solve this issue at the end here.
My lips.
And so this is... Help me out here. How should I get a full measure at the end?
Just, and then a quarter, or...
I need to hold it longer. If I'm going to get a whole measure, I need to just hold it longer than I have been. Is that what you said? Dotted quarter.
That's assuming that it increases on the next.
Right here. Yeah, if we continue it, then.
My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee.
With me.
My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee.
Thank you. What harmony shall we discuss first before we break out? Chords, cadences, voice leading, and harmonic progression. Treble clef here. Let's write in a few chords. Harmonic progression refers to which chord follows which. I'm going to have the basses on a do here just by default. Since it's F, I'm not going to take them down because I can't reach that very well. And so we have a mix of an art and a science here. Obviously, I'm doing this before I'm going right to number 3 maybe for my harmony instead of singing the tenor first, but if you're going to use 4 parts at the end, there's the bass and soprano that close, there's not much option besides this. Okay, so it gets a little scribbly, but Beethoven was scribbly too. I heard the tenors doing a parallel here.
Joyce, when I sing unto thee.
Okay. Harmonic rhythm. How often are the basses going to change? I'm hearing seeing a 1 chord here with the basses on do. Here I have a re, mi, so. The re is just short, so maybe it could be just something that happens quickly while the basses go across on do. So I think I'll keep the 1 chord there. And you know, if I want to hear more variety down here, I might change the melody. If I want to hear a 4 and a 5, maybe I could change something up there. But for this draft, I'm just going to have the bass as good as so. Lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. And straight across here. Let's hear those two parts for now. Some on the bass. Actually, you can improvise other parts as well.
Do mi so mi do. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee.
Thank you. So there's questions about where to put the sopranos and altos. It's easiest for them sometimes if they don't have to move far. The tenors will probably be up here on the so to fill out the chord. But we don't have time for the whole puzzle right now. Have I instilled enough or three quarters enough confidence in you that you can take a little phrase, make it 4 syllables if you want. Make it 4 syllables, as short as you like. Hear it. Hear it for a little bit until you like it. And then see if you can go to number 3 and write it down. Or not. Just memorize it, and you can just teach it to us without notation. Let's try it. Take your ideas from a verse here or anything else, and let's take, it's 9:58. I wonder, I don't have as much time for you as I took, but maybe we could do, aim for melody first, obviously, and 5 or 10 minutes, I'll come around and see how it's going, then we'll have a little time to sing it. So, best wishes. Let's work.
Thank you.
3 minutes.
Thank you.
Good job, students. Good job. I worked hard. I was a little nervous. Thank you for helping me compose, for being gentle and kind with me while I wrote a draft. And it's just a draft. But I wanted to model how you can maybe have more confidence in the ability of yourself and of the people around you than you might think if you just look at a hymnal. These little fragments, here's one that could be used. You can set one line of text to music and read a psalm for devotions at school and sing the refrain in between them. You can make up that line. I love the Lord, he heard my cry. In this case, it's the first line of the song on the next page, but it also can stand by itself. It even ends on me instead of do. It has a feeling that it's leading into something. You were gentle with me. I'll tell you what, let's have you sing, instead of to the whole class, let's have you pair up with someone else or groups of size that you choose. And the doors to the next rooms are closed. Let's expand out into the hallway and sing it to your neighbor. Encourage your neighbor, because he probably feels vulnerable. But encourage him, give him some positive feedback, or help him with a note or two. And then take this away as a memory, hopefully a good memory, of an experience that you had that might be new, but hopefully it won't be the last time, even if it was the first. So, we have 7 minutes left. There's room out here. I don't think we'll disturb the next class if we sing quietly. So let's spread out into the hallway or elsewhere as you choose. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.